Welcome back to another broadcast. We are continuing our discussion on lies that we believe because they've been said to us repeatedly so many times that they appear to be truthful. And if we want to get the victory, we call to mind what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, how in the world do I do that? How do I get this victory where I cast these things down out of my mind? You see, because that's where the battlefield is. It's not the physical. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the battle is. You know, I was watching a film about the Vietnam War, and it was somewhat graphic, and they showed the battle that men were in, and their enemy was before them, and they could see their enemy. Sometimes it was difficult to distinguish the true enemy because the North Vietnamese and the South Vietnamese looked very similar, and you could not always tell who was the true enemy. But one advantage was is you were looking right at the enemy. If they were there, you could see them. And the battle was you trying to kill the person in front of you. But that's not how it is in the spiritual life. It's not your boss. It's not your neighbor. It's not that difficult person at work. It's not your mate. It's not your kids. It's not your finances. It's not a person who hates Christians and they're riding you and giving you a hard time. That's not where the battle is. The battle is what takes place in our mind. And we need to be able to seize the wrong thoughts and cast them down. And that's what takes us to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. And we were looking at that. And it said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And we saw we're not supposed to let the world mold and shape our mind, but we are supposed to allow God to transform us. And just like he made us a new creature, he wants to give us a new mind so that we may put to test. We may be the one that puts the test and proves what is good, acceptable, and the perfect or complete will of God. And so that's where we had started our discussion, and we kind of touched on ideas. Some of those were personal about lies that had been told to me, or things and situations that would excite me and bring about the same kind of empty, negative, vain thoughts that I had about myself. Vain not being in love with myself, vain being worthless, empty, vain thoughts. And it's because of statements that were made. Maybe they were made to you. I know one mother used to say to their kids, "I can't wait till you kids grow up and get out of here." You know, you say that once, you know, that can be damaging. But when children grow up and that's all they ever hear the mother say when things don't go right, after a while, they just realize that, you know what? I'm not wanted here. I'm not loved and I'm not wanted. Boy, if you had a brain, you'd be dangerous. You kids, what did I get? A bunch of stupid people in my family or what? Making statements like that. You are so dumb. Has anybody said it to you? Did you hear those statements while you were growing up? Well, we want to overcome them, and we want to overcome the negative effect that they have on us. And some people who are trapped into believing these lies don't even recognize that they're trapped and don't even recognize that they're lies. You know, being perfect, trying to be perfect, a perfectionist, he or she is trapped in a lie. I was there until I was 40 years old. I remember teaching this material in a Sunday school class that I had, and we talked about one of the traps of being perfect. And of course, I knew that I was going to be confronted by at least one person. And of course, I was. I believe it was two of my memories, right? And one, well, God says to be perfect, and they're pointing it out because they're still trying to strive to accomplish some goal that when they get there, they feel like they finally are worthy. Well, let me just tell you this. You'll never feel worthy because you are not worthy. Ever since the fall of man, man has never been worthy. And it's only by the mercy of God and the grace of God and him stooping down, becoming a man, living in this sinful world, dying, paying the price for our sin, making the atonement in heaven, and then by great long suffering continue to reach out to you and me until we finally respond by faith and accept Christ as Savior. Without that, we would be without hope. But because of that, then God, by the grace of God, can make you into being something. Now, we were talking about in our last broadcast, you know, the word truth, because it's going to be something that's going to help us to assess our situation and to be able to recognize when we are being controlled by our thoughts instead of us controlling our thoughts and controlling our actions. We looked at the T. The T stands for a trigger event. Now, I know that it's a psych term, but we're not going to get ourselves all upset about it, because they squeeze a trigger at a race and the firing gun starts the track meet, all right? And there'll be other times where something will trigger an event to begin. And so we look at it. You might be, we talked about last broadcast, you might be at a concert and somebody starts talking behind you. What kind of a reaction does it get? You might be rushing to an appointment and you lock your keys in the car. That's a trigger event that's going to bring about emotions and that's going to bring about thoughts. And we saw you're rushing and somebody in front of you is going the speed limit. Maybe you've lost your job. There's a sudden unexpected death of a loved one. These are all events that are beyond our control that may happen. And the next thing you know, they can begin to start to bring about what we call reckless thinking. And that's the R. We're spelling the word truth. T stands for what's the event that's going to trigger me. It's going to get me started. It's going to get me excited. It's going to get me upset, or it might make me depressed. What is the event in my life? We'll talk more about them later. And then we say R stands for reckless thinking. You know, reckless thinking, this is the time you spend thinking about what has just happened. Maybe you say something like, I am really stupid. Did you ever lock your keys in the car? What did you say to yourself? How dumb can you get? I locked my keys in the car. Can you believe this? What kind of idiot locks his keys in the car at a time like this? That might be something that you said. I remember my son did that. I was speaking in West Virginia, and I was preaching about anger, the source, result, and dealing with it, and about how we're not supposed to react. We're supposed to act, but not react. And so they take us out to go get a bite to eat, and we're in a rental car. And what does my son do? He locks the keys in the car. We don't have a spare set. And of course, they think that is the most, you know, humorous thing that they're going to come across. They're watching my son and they're watching me. They're going to say, is he living what he just preached? And I did. But I'm telling you, my son felt terrible. And so, you know, we're trying to call AAA, because I had that because I traveled a lot, to see if they could come. But they were going to be about an hour. So the next thing you know, these two guys had these Slim Jims, you know, and they said, we're going to take care of it for you. And so me just jokingly say, hey, did you hear the one about the two Yankees who locked their keys in the car? And of course, we're down in West Virginia. So they all they all laughed. But you know what? Had that happened a few years earlier, I would have been extremely mad. And like, how dumb can you get? What's wrong with you, boy? Man, and I'd have been upset and said things that I would have greatly regretted. That's the reckless thinking. So imagine the person who's in a rush to get to the appointment, and they have that person going, for some reason, going the speed limit in front of them. And what might they say? Now I'm going to miss my appointment, and everybody's going to be mad at me. And they're concerned about their image and what people think about them. So we get a trigger event, and then what starts to happen in our mind? Because that's where the battle is. Maybe you lose your job for a right reason or maybe a wrong reason. Maybe something went wrong, people blamed you, and you couldn't prove it otherwise. And you were on the outside looking in. And now you're going to think, what a moron I am. They're going to think I'm stupid. They're going to think I'm lazy. They're going to think I'm a bum. And all of those things begin to go through your mind. This kind of talking is reckless, and this kind of talking leads to damaged emotions, your emotions and all the people around you, as you begin to have what we call an unhealthy response. I like to call it an unspiritual response, because I don't think unhealthy is clear enough. If I have an unspiritual response, it's going to be a wrong response, which means I'm going to then have emotional reactions that are not good for my body. So let's talk about what could be some unspiritual responses, and that's the U for the word truth. T stands for trigger. R stands for reckless thinking. U stands for unhealthy or unspiritual response. And so we're looking at what may be some physical, non-behavioral responses that somebody might have. What are some emotional responses? What are some behavioral responses? Well, let's go back to the person that's singing at the concert, or the person that's talking at the concert, you turning around and saying something like, "Could you just shut up? I'm here to watch this concert." Well, that would be a definite unspiritual response. Even if the person's wrong, you acting in anger and expressing your anger doesn't make it right. I learned a long time ago, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's a verse I had to learn to really put into practice. You know, that could be one thing. Suppose you're rushing to an appointment and you accidentally lock your keys in the car. What might somebody do? They might go over and punch the window. They might kick the car. They might scream and use some curse words and yell at the top of their lungs. And all of that is just flesh. It's an unspiritual response. And it's going to take a physiological toll on your body, so it's also unhealthy. You're rushing and somebody in front of you has actually gone the speed limit. I mean, you might not say the curse words, but they're running through your mind. You're leaning on the horn. You're waving your hand out the window. And finally, when they pull over, you roll down the window and you holler at the guy and call him some kind of an idiot. And all of these are unspiritual responses. You got fired from the job. You might decide to drown your sorrows. Oh, I know you haven't had a drink for a long time, and you just decide to. What's the use? I just lost my job. What am I going to do? Or you may go home and take it out on the wife. Take it out on the kids. Take it out on somebody. And all of these things, where did they come from? There was a trigger event, some situation in life beyond your control. But what it's really doing is revealing the struggles that you're having inside. And then you have that reckless thinking. And usually that reckless thinking is directly tied to these things that you believe about yourself that aren't true. And then once that event with that reckless thinking starts to take place, guess what happens? Now you begin to not act, but you begin to react. And that is the U standing for unspiritual or unhealthy response. I got time maybe to give one more. T is trigger. R is reckless thinking. U, unspiritual response. And then the next T stands for truthful thinking. And you got to step back and say, what is the true perspective of locking the keys in the car? And it's to err as human. You know, we're going to talk about this part more in the next broadcast, because we need to put off wrong thinking, put off wrong actions, put on right thinking, and put on right actions. And our faith will be mixed all in the middle of it. We'll talk about that. But until the next time, God bless.